welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are going to be in the Epistle of Galatians today. So find the New Testament, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. You'll find Galatians. We'll be in Galatians chapter 4, reading Galatians 4 through 6. I'll be taking some devotional pauses, some applicational thoughts at the end, and then closing in prayer. I want to encourage you to think through this passage of Scripture with me, praying that God will help you to understand it and to apply it. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that as we read through Galatians 4 to 6, Father, this morning, that we would understand what you're saying and what this means for my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 4. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time set had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God's. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. All right, so he's speaking of the law here in terms of slavery and being in bondage, and then Jesus came to redeem us, to set us free, and yet many of them were kind of going back to being in bondage again to the law. Verse 12, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you, and even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Jesus Christ himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? These people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. So apparently there were some other teachers coming in, kind of trying to gain them to their side, but the main issue, I think, was they were preaching something other than the true gospel. Verse 21, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively, the woman representing two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman, who you never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Okay, so again, he's talking about slavery in the sense to the law, and here he's using examples from the Old Testament to basically say, as Christians, we are children's children of promise. This is a whole new thing. This is a special thing. This is not just something according to the flesh. This is according to the Spirit. Chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So I think of the context probably means that those false teachers were forcing them to be circumcised. And he's saying, don't be circumcised. Because in this case, in this context, if you are putting yourself back under bondage to the whole law. That's what these teachers are trying to do. Verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So now he's kind of making a switch here to instructing them again about their freedom in the Spirit, but how they still may be fighting the flesh. So they're free, but they're free to show sacrificial love to one another. Verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one each other. So there's living by the flesh, and there's living by the Spirit. And there's some indicators of what we are doing at the present time. Chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the world should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. That's the end of our reading today, and that is the end of Galatians. So Paul's writing in the context of some false teachers who seem to be teaching that they need to be doing everything according to the law. And the law of Moses, not necessarily the laws of the land. And Paul's reminding them that the gospel he preached to them was one of freedom. But not freedom just to please our own selves and live in the flesh. Freedom to live in the spirit. Freedom to live self-sacrificially for other people, just as Jesus did for us. Well, there's a lot here that you could take and apply. What am I going to apply to my life today? What stuck out to me? Let's see. Well, I think I look at the fruit of the Spirit. I've been thinking about that recently, teaching some of that with the youth. And I think the main thing that comes to my mind is to be walking with the Spirit each day so that these qualities demonstrate themselves, and that I will consider how am I showing love today? How am I exuding joy? How am I demonstrating peace? Am I hanging in there with other people through forbearance? Am I showing kindness? Am I doing what is right and being faithful? Am I showing a gentle spirit? Am I demonstrating self-control? Father, today I want to demonstrate what it looks like, Father, to be walking with your Spirit. I want to be sensitive to ways that I'm not, to my sin, make things right with you and others. Father, help me to be your testimony within my own family, with anyone that I may be with today and talk with today, that they would see the light of Christ through me, and that I would honor you in this. In Jesus' name, amen.